A service for the first Sunday in Advent, November the 30th, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, the Palm Sunday account. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord needs them. And he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is our text. Now a sermon entitled, The Day Will Come. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word Advent means coming. We have now entered into this short season in which we focus upon the coming of Jesus. He first came to this world as a little baby, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We'll have a lot more to say about that at Christmas. After Jesus ascended, he nevertheless promised, I am with you always, to the end of the age. He comes to us, even as we gather here, together around word and sacrament. He made this clear in Matthew 18, explaining that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. That's the main reason we are attending today's service. Even though he is with us always, we especially encounter him in the divine services which are begun in the triune name of God. And another coming that we are focusing upon, especially on this first Sunday in Advent, is when our Lord Jesus will come again in glory. He explained in Matthew 25 that the time will arrive when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, as then he will sit on his glorious throne. You see, that's the goal of our faith. We don't believe in Jesus only for this life. Instead, we believe in him in anticipation of the last day, when he comes again, and the dead are raised, with paradise restored for those awaiting his coming through trust and faith in him. Today, to help us in what we are gathered here to do, the gospel reading that I shared is one that we also read on Palm Sunday, the account of Jesus coming triumphantly into Jerusalem. For you see, there exists parallels between that coming of Christ and the one that we are still anticipating at the end of time. What are these parallels? Well, those who cheered his grand entry did so mostly in anticipation of a regime change. During the centuries prior to this, the Jewish nation had been under the occupation of foreign invaders. These included the Persians, the Greeks, the Egyptians, and the Syrians. There was a period in which they had managed to get themselves free. However, at the time of Jesus, the nation was under Roman rule. The people were looking forward to being free at last. They were looking for a savior. Jesus seemed to be the one. He clearly had powers. After all, he fed the multitude with only 2 fish and 5 loaves. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. A man like him at the head of their army could expel the occupiers. Therefore, Jesus coming into Jerusalem seemed to be that to them. However, he wasn't that then, but he will be when he comes again. The prophecies that led them to conclude what they had about Jesus being their freedom-fighting general were not incorrect. They were just being applied to him at the wrong time. Jesus will come again to free mankind from all that presently occupies our fallen world. What presently is occupying our world? Sin is, together with death. The devil is here too. These all are wreaking havoc upon God's beautiful creation in the worst way ever since the fall into sin. You know it's true. There's something wrong with our world. Chaos often reigns. Tragically, it reigns in human hearts, which clearly are sinful. The wage of sin is death. Death is on the hunt for us, and though we so far have evaded its capture, it will succeed in taking all of us down to the pit. This is not what we want. We can imagine a better reality. We can think of a world where people are not consumed with sin of any description. We can ponder a world where no one dies. We picture an existence in which no one is enticed in the direction of evil. The very fact that we can imagine, picture, ponder, and think of a world like that proves that we were made for a different world. We desire to be free of this one and enter a different one, not unlike how the Jewish nation dreamed of a time of freedom from their enemies. Therefore, the people of Jerusalem were certainly on the right track when they welcomed with fanfare Jesus into their city that Sunday, when he rode that full of a donkey and they waved palm branches and sang Hosanna. The only thing is that they had underestimated Jesus. He wasn't there just to free the Jewish nation from the Roman Empire. Instead, he had come to save both mankind and the whole world from sin, death, and the devil. It was later that day that the leaders of the people plotted for Jesus' arrest. They wanted to maintain the status quo that they were then enjoying with Rome. Soon they found an ally in Judas, willing to betray Jesus. He led them to arrest Jesus in Gethsemane. They charged him with blasphemy and handed him over to their Roman occupiers, who would be useful in taking the blame for Jesus' death. They, as the crowds demanded, crucified our Lord. Oh, how things had changed! On Palm Sunday they cheered him, crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" By Friday the crowds cried out, "Let him be crucified!" After washing his hands of the matter, Pilate delivered Jesus over for crucifixion. And so the Savior died, shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. However, it turns out that he allowed this to happen to him, since this was the Father's plan. Jesus' shed blood is powerful to make atonement for the sins of the world. Ephesians 1 tells us that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Though sin remains in this world, those covered in his blood through faith and by baptism are redeemed from it. And it is not only we who are saved, but so is the creation. We learn in Colossians 1 that in him all things are reconciled, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Romans chapter 8 speaks of how the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. This is because it too longs to be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Truly, salvation, by having been set free from sin and its wage of death, together with the dominion of the devil, was achieved by Jesus on his cross. verification is his resurrection on the third day and his ascension 40 days after that. As Palm Sunday arrived for the people of Jerusalem, when Jesus fulfilled what was written by the prophet, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt the foal of a beast of burden," so will come true all predictions about the time when Jesus will come again. And though we are presently waiting his arrival, it's a sure thing. The day of Jesus' return will arrive when all that is wrong will at last be set right. Hebrews 9 teaches this precisely, explaining, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Sin has already been dealt with by Jesus' death on the cross. It simply needs to be removed, death has yet to be destroyed, and the devil has yet to be damned, but the day will come. On Palm Sunday, the crowds recognized Jesus. These were the ones anticipating him. They were excited to see him. However, there were others in the city who were clueless as to what all the fanfare was about. They witnessed the crowd that went before him and that followed him, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest." And we learn that this stirred up the whole city, and they asked, "Who is this?" Well, there will be parallels with this upon the last day. The faithful will see King Jesus return and rejoice. Unbelievers, however, will look to the sky, stirred up with terror and confusion. They will ask, "Who is this?" But it will soon be made known to them who he is. They will learn that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God and man, come again to earth to judge both the living and the dead. And that is when, according to Philippians 2, every knee will bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And according to Matthew 25, the unbelievers will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. No one knows when that day will be when Jesus comes again. However, he is with us now, as he promised to be, especially as we gather for worship in the name of the triune God, listening to his word. Through it, he is keeping us in the faith. By faith, we have our sins covered by his blood. Redeemed from sin, we are ready for and looking forward to the day, whenever it will be, that Christ comes again. That will be the end of the reign of terror upon us and our world by sin, death, and the devil. Behold, your King is coming to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.